ભગવાન આપિતા રાત્રિ શારડોટ ફૂલમાલિકા વિક્ષરંથુ મનશ્ચક્રે યોગમાયામુભાષતા શ્રી બાદરાયણી સેડ શ્રી કૃષ્ણ is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences. Yet upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind toward loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Tado duraja kakubha karayar mukham prachya vilimpan arunena santamai sacharshani nam udagachchuchom rajam priya priyaya ivadhirga darshana. The moon then rose, anointing the face of the western horizon with the reddish hue of his comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all who watched him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with red kumkum. Drishtva kamudvantam akandamandalam Ramanabham Navakunkum Arunam Vanam Chatat Komalagobi Ranjitam Jagokalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. Lord Krishna saw the unbroken disk of the full moon glowing with the red effulgence of a newly applied vermilion, and as if it were the face of the goddess of fortune. He also saw the Kamuda lotuses opening in response to the moon's presence, and the forest gently illumined by its rays. Thus the Lord began to play sweetly on his flute, attracting the minds of the beautiful eyed gopis. Tonight, we are celebrating the very auspicious occasion of Sharad Purnima, one of the most beautiful and wonderful festivals celebrated every year in Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the thousands of temples in Vrindavan, on this very night, this very time, so many wonderful offerings are made for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Devotees make special offerings of sweetmeats and other such wonderful bhoga. They offer it to the Lord. The altar is decorated very, very beautifully. The deities are given nice new dress. In some temples, they make a beautiful shinghasan out of flowers and place it in the forest or in the courtyard of the temple. And they place the deities in that beautiful setting. And they make all their wonderful offerings there. And under the light of the full moon, this is considered to be the most beautiful of all full moons of the year. The devotees sing special beautiful bhajans and kirtans describing the transcendental sweetness of the exchanges between Krishna and his beloved devotees, the gopis. In this way, an atmosphere is created where everyone's heart, mind, and soul are centered in giving pleasure to Radha and Krishna. I remember when I lived in Vrindavan about 23 years back on the Sarat Purnima. I was at the ashram of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, and we took the main deities of the temple into a beautiful forest of tulsis. And the guru was chanting harmonium and singing beautiful songs. And there were dozens and dozens of wonderful offerings of sweetmeats. And the moonlight was shining so bright that we really developed, everyone awakened in their heart just by this atmosphere, a great longing to want to eternally assist in these wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And that is really the purpose of these wonderful programs that we have, to try to create an atmosphere in which we develop a real longing to want to be a part of the eternal pastimes of the Lord. And what is that pastime? To be the assistant of the assistant of Srimati Radharani in her loving service to Sri Shyam Sundar, Sri Krishna. The Ras Lila has been meditated upon by the greatest acharyas in the renounced order of life. Great souls like Shukadev Goswami are describing it. And as we know, Shukadev Goswami, he was in such an advanced, liberated position that he just didn't even recognize that people had material bodies. Whether a person was a male or a female was not even recognizable by him. As we know the story, when he was traveling through the forest, the ladies just didn't mind him going through. But when Vedavyas came, they all hid themselves and covered themselves while bathing. And the reason was because Shukadev Goswami was so purely liberated on such a transcendental platform that he just didn't consider a person's material condition at all. And all the great saints and sages, they elected Shukadev Goswami to speak the Bhagavatam. Narada, Vyas, Asita, Devala, Bharadraj, Angira, Atri Muni, they were all there. So Shukadev Goswami is describing this wonderful pastime as the summit of the conclusion of the absolute truth. In other words, it is the ultimate realization of the highest spiritual subject matter. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he renounced everything of this world to live according to the strictest principles of sannyas, the renounced order, he also taught us how to worship this divine pastime with the highest dignity and integrity. And the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, he had a wife more beautiful than an angel. And he had riches like Indra, the king of heaven. But he renounced it all without even thinking. Like a person just leaves stool behind after passing. He just walked away from it without the slightest consideration. Raghunath Das Goswami lived according to such high principles of renunciation. He gave up eating, he gave up sleeping. 24 hours a day he was simply immersed in serving the Vaishnavas and meditating on the beautiful love affairs of Radha and Krishna, which culminates in this Rasa Leela. So we can understand by these examples that this beautiful pastime is a completely transcendental spiritual manifestation of the Lord's intimate love for his devotees and the intimate love of the devotees for Lord Sri Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami begins this particular story of the Rasa Leela with this verse. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Vikshyarantu manaschakre yogamayam upashataha. From the very beginning, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining that this story has nothing to do with the Mahamaya of this world. It is an enactment of yogamaya. Pure spiritual energy of the Lord. In this beautiful pastime, if we try to put ourselves in the position of the gopis or Krishna, our spiritual lives will be spoiled unless we have the proper realization and detachment of the gopis and Krishna. When we hear it, we should understand its supreme position and we should place it on the highest altar of our ultimate goal of life. And we should strive to become the servant of the servant of the servant of these gopis of Krishna, who to such an extent surrendered everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Upon seeing the beautiful full moon, Krishna played upon his flute, and as he played, the sweet vibration, it filled the atmosphere. And the sweetness of the sound of that celebrated flute of Krishna was like ambrosial nectar to the ears of the gopis. When they heard it, they become so maddened with the desire to please Krishna. Because in their heart of hearts, there was no lust as we know it, but there was prema, the most perfect state of consciousness. You see, in this material world, there is lust. But where does that lust come from? It is a perverted reflection of the pure love of the longing between Krishna and his devotees in conjugal love. But we should know that the gopis, when they heard Krishna's flute, they understood that he was calling them. He wanted to enjoy them. He wanted to enjoy their love, their surrender, their sacrifice on every level. And therefore, they wanted to please Krishna. For Krishna's enjoyment, they were willing to do anything or give up anything. Some of the gopis were milking cows, but they left the cow and they left the milk, and in a great hurry they ran to offer themselves for the pleasure and in the service of Lord Sri Krishna. Some were boiling milk, but they left that on the stove to curdle. Some were cooking cakes in oven, but they left them. As the cakes burned, they ran into the forest. Some who were married were personally serving their husbands, but they left him to meet with Lord Sri Krishna. Some of them were serving their fathers, their brothers, their other relatives. Others were putting on the makeup, cosmetics, putting on their clothes. But in whatever occupation that they were engaging in, they could not wait. They simply left it all to meet with Krishna, to serve Krishna, to beckon to the call of Krishna. And this is the supreme personification of renunciation. Other of the gopis, it is explained that they were sadhana siddhas. They had achieved, by their great longing and devotions, and by the grace of the Lord, birth in the womb of the Brijbasis. But they still had some tinge of material contamination. And those gopis, they were not allowed to go to the Rasalila. Their fathers, their husbands, or whatever their situation, they stood at the door with sticks and said, "You're not going out tonight." And understanding that they were helpless, they just closed their eyes and they began to meditate on the beautiful form of Sri Krishna. They meditate on offering their body, mind, word, soul, everything for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. And it explains that they gave up their material bodies. But they did not die, because if they were to die just before the Rasalila, that would be an inauspicious beginning for Krishna to begin his dance. And he was arranging everything to be most pleasurable and auspicious. So what it means that they gave up their material bodies is that by completely immersing their consciousness in the feelings of separation, of wanting to be with Krishna, wanting to serve Krishna, wanting to give their love to Krishna, that the fire of that longing, burned to ashes all whatever traces of material contamination remained within their hearts. And Krishna, reciprocating from within their hearts, lovingly embraced them and fulfilled their desires. And by this complete purification, they gave up all materiality. In this way, they gave up their material body, and their body, mind, words, everything became completely spiritualized. Now, Krishna, we must understand, he specifically, directly and personally called for each gopi by playing upon his flute. The ladies here should not think that they should just leave their husbands or leave their fathers and run to Gopinath. Because if you have proper understanding of our philosophy, we cannot approach Gopinath directly. We must approach Gopinath through the instructions of his representative. And if his representative is explaining that you must be a chaste and faithful wife or a chaste and faithful daughter and serve Krishna according to your capacity, and if you're not allowed to come to the temple, then you should simply meditate and long to be at the temple, and gradually that will appeal to Krishna's heart. Do not try to imitate gopis. But following in their footsteps means being willing to do anything and everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And that means in our own lives, Vyavashayatmaka Budhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahusha Kahyanantascha Budhaya Vyavashayana. To give up our own conceptions, our own speculations of what Krishna wants, and simply be humble and submissive in executing the order of the spiritual master. And in the execution of that order, we should be willing to give up all of our own material attachments. And our material attachments have two phases. One is gross sensual attachments. To the things of this body. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. And the other is the subtle attachments of our own conceptions of Krishna consciousness and what Krishna wants and what we should be doing for Krishna. This is real renunciation. Pariprasnena sevaya. Inquire submissively and be ready and willing to do anything or give up anything or accept anything if that is desire of Krishna's representatives in the path of sadhana bhakti and later on the path vaidhi bhakti, raga bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. It is through that complete purification of all misidentifications and all material desires that we come to the platform where we could truly follow in the footsteps of the servants of the servants of the servants of the gopis. That is their exalted position. So when the gopis went to meet with Lord Sri Krishna, Krishna, he wanted to increase their bhakti, their spiritual emotions. And he explained that, how is it that you have come here in the dark of night, in this forest? There are many dangerous animals. And besides that, it is the first and foremost duty of a young girl to remain loyal and faithful to their protectors, husbands, fathers. Why have you come here? Please, you stay home. You hear about me. You chant my names. You worship my deity form. In this way, you will achieve perfection and you will please me. But the gopis, they responded to Sri Krishna that you are telling us to go home. But actually, your lotus feet are the eternal home for all living beings. And it is due to your divine presence as the Paramatma in the hearts of all that there's any life. We are not attached to the dead bodies of our relatives. We are attached to your presence in their heart. The gopis were explaining that actually all affection that we have for anyone, it is actually affection for Krishna. Because the quality within everyone that attracts us is due to the relationship of that soul with Krishna. No one is attracted to a dead corpse, but a living being we are attracted to. And the life within him is Krishna. And whatever beauty, whatever intelligence, whatever qualities are winning our hearts, they are just infinitesimal manifestations of Krishna's opulence. If you are attracted to someone's beautiful looks, you should know that it is just an infinitesimal perverted reflection of Krishna's beauty. Krishna is the source of all beauty, all knowledge, all wealth, all strength, all fame, all renunciation. He's the source of everything. Then if you water the root of the tree, automatically you fulfill the needs of every part of the tree. If you repose your love in Krishna, automatically you repose your love in everything that exists in all creation. Because Krishna is the source. If we please Krishna, if we serve Krishna, there is nothing left to be done in this world. So, the gopis explained that in taking shelter of your lotus feet, my Lord, we are fulfilling all of our obligations to the highest degree. And these lotus feet are so precious that even Lakshmi Devi, who is, she has performed such great austerities just to massage your lotus feet. And the great saints and sages and rishis throughout history, what they have done to achieve your lotus feet. And we have now given our lives, our everything, and offer them at your lotus feet. So although you are telling us to leave, our legs will not move. They cannot move. We've already sold out our lives to those beautiful lotus feet. So upon hearing their loving words, Krishna being very pleased, he began the beautiful Rasa Leela. Within the Rasa Leela, we should know that the gopis and Krishna, their bodies are pure, spiritual. And they simply performed these wonderful activities to selflessly give pleasure to one another. The pleasure of pure love. In the spiritual realm, there is no difference between the body and the soul. In this material world, there is a great difference. This Rasleela, which is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, is very important and precious for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because within this story it illustrates in the most wonderful way the supreme position of Srimati Radharani and how she, by her infinite love, has conquered the heart of Krishna. Because Srimati Radharani is the supreme most worshipable object of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Krishna was enjoying these beautiful pastimes with so many gopis. But Srimati Radharani, she left the Raslila. Various acharyas explain various reasons. But essentially, she knew within her heart of hearts that Krishna wanted to be with her only. So for his pleasure, she left. It is also explained because Krishna was appearing to be with each particular gopi only. He was appearing, although there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gopis, Krishna was appearing that he's only with me. Of everyone, he loves me. And they became a little proud. And Krishna wanted to show that whoever you are, however exalted, however advanced, however intimate of a loving relationship you have with the Supreme Lord, he will not tolerate pride. If you become proud, Krishna will leave you. That is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the very beginning teaches us that we must be humble. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this way we could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. From the lowest position of a neophyte devotee to the highest position, the essence of our spiritual life is the quality of humility. Of course, the gopis, their pride was not at all material. But Krishna teaches a lesson to all of us through this example. That if pride enters our heart, whatever our service may be, it becomes unappealing to Krishna. But on a higher level, Krishna wanted to show the supreme glory of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord. It is through her that Krishna derives all pleasure. And that is why she is the supreme worshipable object for the Gaudiya Vaishnava. Because in assisting her servants and giving her pleasure, ultimately that gives the greatest pleasure to Lord Sri Krishna as well. Krishna wanted to show that without Radharani's love, he cannot be satisfied with everything and anything else in all the spiritual and material creations. And so Krishna met with Srimati Radharani in the forest, and it is described that there he became her servant. When she was tired, he lifted her. In various places he picked flowers for her, and then he decorated her hair with these flowers. And then Krishna, he also left Sri Radharani to increase her feelings of separation. And also because he knew in his heart of hearts that Krishna had fulfilled his purpose by coming to meet her. But she was thinking that the other gopis, they are feeling so much pain to be away, that she wanted all the gopis to enjoy this wonderful pastime. Because ultimately, the heart of Sri Radharani is always anxious to bring everyone back to the spiritual realm of the loving service of Radha and Krishna. And for this reason, Srimati Radharani combined with the Yuga avatar, Sri Krishna, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to teach everyone how to come back to this abode of divine love and pleasure in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. Krishna wanted to understand what is this divine happiness, this sublime ecstasy that Radharani experiences. I cannot fathom it, Krishna's thinking. I am Rasaraj. I am Rama, the reservoir of all pleasure. But yet the pleasure that Sri Radharani experiences in seeing me is so great that I cannot reach it. The only way I can ever understand it is if I myself accept the emotions, the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. So with this in mind, Krishna descended into this world with the spirit of love of Sri Radha. But like in this Rasa Leela, Krishna was anxious to taste the sweetness and love of Radha's love. It was fulfilled in this avatar of Sri Chaitanya. And like Srimati Radharani, who actually in the end wanted all the gopis to enjoy this wonderful Leela, she wanted to canvass them. Similarly, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she is inviting all living beings without discrimination to purify their hearts and return to the spiritual world of Vrindavan and enjoy our original constitutional nature of being the loving service of the Lord. And this comes through the purification of the heart. Therefore, this great Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare It is like the key to the supreme treasure of the perfection of life, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to all of us. By the congregational chanting of Krishna's names, and by following the very simple and sublime principles of Krishna consciousness, gradually we develop an eagerness, a spiritual greed, to want to give more and more and more of our lives in the service of Krishna and his devotees. And as that desire expands within our heart, naturally, all of the attachments that we have to the temporary objects of the world, which are ultimately sources of misery, they are dissipated. They are vanquished. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed that, "My Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, my body, my mind, my home, my words, my everything, it all belongs to you." Real attachment to Krishna is attachment to utilize everything for his pleasure, and detachment from the illusion that anything is mine. Because that attachment is the source of all suffering. If you are attached to your home, eventually you will suffer because it will be taken away. Today or tomorrow, does it really make much difference? If you are attached to your wealth, if you are attached to your body, if you are attached to the bodies of your loved ones, if you are attached to your abilities or your creative skills, they will be taken away. And really, does it make a difference whether it's taken away today or tomorrow? Because when tomorrow comes, it becomes today. So it might as well be today. What difference does it really make? Because today was tomorrow yesterday. So what to do? There's really no reason to clamp on to these things. But we should clamp on to the lotus feet of Krishna. We should hold on very tightly for dear life to that process and to those devotees who can bring us to that perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. That should be our consciousness. That should be our goal. That should be our motive. And we should know that Krishna will protect us. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupashate tesham nityabhayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I will protect what you have, and I will provide what you do not have. But Krishna also says, yasya hamana grinnami harishyeta dhanam shanai, which means that when I show my special compassion to my devotee, I take everything and everyone away, so he has no one else to turn to but me. So this is kind of apparently a contradiction. Ananyas chintayanto mam and yasya hamana grinnami. On one level, he's saying, if you surrender to me, I'll protect whatever you have and I'll give you whatever you don't have. He says that in Gita. But he also says in the same Mahabharata that for my devotee, when he surrenders to me, I take everything away. So who can explain like this? Krishna's not talking about material things. Because materially, he's going to take everything away. Whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, doesn't matter. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, and he was just about to leave this world, and his body was not able to hardly move. The only thing that would move practically was his mouth to continue to preach to us how to cooperate with one another and perfect our lives and chant Hare Krishna. But he said, don't think that this will not happen to you. Old age comes, whoever you are. And when old age comes, your eyesight is taken away, your hearing is taken away, your digestion is taken away, your ability to move, to walk properly is taken away. Nanyas chintayanto mam yejana pariupashate. It means in our devotional service, whatever is good for us, Krishna will protect, both materially and spiritually. And whatever we lack, he will provide. We know the story of Sudama Vipra. He had nothing, but Krishna gave him more material opulence than the king of heaven. Because for Sudama Vipra to have all of these resources was simply to assist him in offering more and more and more and more to Krishna, because he knew that he wouldn't use anything for anything else except Krishna's service. But actually, Sudama Vipra was equally satisfied whether he was living on the ground or whether he was living in a great palace, because he was always remembering Krishna and offering everything to Krishna. So Krishna, his greatest mercy is when he gives us the realization and understanding of the truth. And the truth is that we are all eternally part of him. He is Purusha, we are Prakriti. We are meant to be enjoyed by him. In that being enjoyed by Krishna, we experience the highest ecstasy of love. In trying to enjoy the attachments of this world and the securities of this world, we simply become more and more bound in illusion. Utility is the principle. It is true that we are obliged to make ends meet to keep body and soul together in this world, especially if we are in the Grihastha ashram. And even as brahmacharis, the devotees are working so hard to maintain and make this temple a wonderful place for people to live. But it is all for the purpose of developing our Krishna consciousness. Krishna is calling all of us on his blessed flute. Through the sound vibration of the holy name, Krishna is calling all of us to his eternal spiritual abode. And our greatest fortune is when we simply reciprocate. And following in the footsteps of the servants of the servants of the servants of the gopis of Braja, make Krishna the only goal of our life. Make Krishna the only purpose of whatever we do, we say, or we think. This is Krishna consciousness. Through the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees, our consciousness is gradually transported to that realm in which we simply live for Krishna. So on this most beautiful and auspicious occasion of Shri Sharad Purnima, let us spend this wonderful night together singing the glories of the Lord, beholding the beauty of Vrindavan in such a way that we create an atmosphere of pleasure for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So tonight is one of the most beautiful and wonderful darshans of all the year. It is a night where we could truly experience the realm of Vrindavan. Because actually, wherever the devotees are coming together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, Vrindavan descends in that place. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki.